want to share with you the question, who changed our culture? How did this happen? We are back to really Jeremiah. This is one of the things that he deals with, not about our culture, but about his. We ought to appreciate all that God has given us that remains unspoiled by sin. There is some stuff. Maybe it's touched by sin, but it's unspoiled. And with that, we should appreciate it. Let me give you a couple of songs. We sing "This Is My Father's World" by Maltby D. Babcock. "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise. The morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let earth be glad." A little more secular, but I love to hear Louis Armstrong singing "What a Wonderful World" by Bob Teal, George Douglas, and George Weiss. This one goes, "I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of the people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Oh, yeah." Well, these songs help us to think about and obey Philippians 4:8. I was asking my family one time what their favorite verses were. This was my son John's favorite verse. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest," this word could be venerable, things to be honored, "whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." It's not the only way to be positive in this world, I think. So much wrong, so much harm, so much bad things. But let's think on the good. So as we look around, we see other things that do not make us rejoice, who do not allow us to give thanks. We see the effects of sin on our beloved country, on our family, on our friends. As Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus, we weep at the destruction of sin allowed to run free. As Jeremiah wept at God's judgment on his nation, so I think we need to weep to see the falling of America. Let us take time this morning, this evening, to ask who changed our culture. Let me say that it's clear that it is not the common man who goes about his business and tries to provide for his family, and especially not the Christian who seeks to serve God and his neighbor. We didn't do this. Jeremiah addresses God's condemnation to three groups. These are three influential groups that God gave to man to influence people for the right and to influence them against evil. They are, first of all, the political leaders. These are those who make our laws, who enforce their policies. Jeremiah 1, 2, and 3. chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem, captive in the 5th month. Here were the kings involved. Jeremiah 22, 11 and 12. For thus saith the Lord, touching Shallum, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which reigned instead of Josiah his father, which went forth out of this place. He shall not return thither any more, but he shall die in the place whither they have led him captive, and shall see this land no more. Judgment on the rulers. Jeremiah 22, 18 and 19. Therefore saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, thou shalt not lament for him, saying, Ah, my brother, ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, Lord, ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, of a donkey, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Jeremiah spoke soberly but sadly of God's judgment. We should also speak not merely politically, but ethically, of the disastrous leadership of America's governments. God set up such leadership to enforce his moral code. If we look over in Romans 13, 1 and 4, Paul tells, at a time when evil people were in charge of Rome, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained or ordered of God. Verse 4, for he is the leadership, is the minister of God to thee for good. So we recognize that in this chain of command, God set these up. He says, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doth evil. When they stop punishing the wicked and just begin to manipulate the social structure, they have lost the power of God. They have lost the influence that God wanted them to have. So our political leadership gave homosexuality legal establishment. More than that, they compel the rest of us to avoid criticism under threat of hate crimes. We discourage homosexuality, we do, out of love for those deceived. It's a terrible crime. It's an unclean thing. It's a thing that damages the body and damages the whole concept of relationships. It's harmful, damaging, terribly unclean. Our leaders promote evil socialism and discourage the hands of hardworking Americans. They manipulate actions by tax laws and tax breaks. Let's call them out, not for being Democrats or Republicans, but for misleading the population into evil instead of executing wrath on evil. The second group that he mentions are the cultural leaders. In our day, it's the people on the videos, people on the TV, people on the magazine covers and that type of thing, movie people. Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah 1:18, for behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah. Now the second group, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. Jeremiah 4:8-9, for this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes, and the priests shall be astonished. This is shocked at what's happening, and the prophets shall wonder. Now the princes of the kingdom were the rich and famous of the day. These were the people that they followed on the tabloids when they checked out of the grocery store. The tabloids followed their fashions. The daytime TV shows invited their opinion. Saw a thing on Facebook. It says, stop making stupid people famous. You have to shake your head sometimes. What in the world What did these people do? Oh, they were just famous because they showed up on TV. Well, God condemned them because they influenced the culture of their countries. As it is today, the thinkers run the media, vocal and electronic, and the non-thinkers absorb it. We are more middle or moderate classes, and we're the last to sense the influence. The intelligentsia speaks, the people with less information, less understanding, they pick it up immediately, and we're in between. So slowly we're getting squeezed in, being told that we're not paying attention to the lesser people and all this kind of stuff. But we're getting there. By the time we notice the culture affecting us, we think of it as just the new fad or the new fashion. We do not often ask, where did it come from? Homosexuals invented abnormal sexual practices. We find that in our class, even evangelistic preachers, I was reading a book written by a good gospel preacher, advocated such things as okay for consenting adults. But you have to ask the question, where did this come from? Who invented this style of sexual relationships? And the answer is the homosexuals. Today, the thinkers express themselves in music and other art forms. They write the opinion pieces in fashionable periodicals. They appear as experts on TV shows. One man said, if you listen to these experts, there is no practice that is so vile or defiling that at any moment a TV show could not find some academic egghead who will defend it. Well, it's understandable. Well, it's this. Well, it's that. So let us speak out against the cultic fashions, music, shows that legitimize sin. It's, to me, absolutely shocking to see the female performers, music performers, who the whole thing is just a sexual show. Why in the world is this allowed to influence our young people? They have led us to ridicule the Bible, ridicule faith in God. They argued our culture away from the absolute right and wrong into situational ethics. We are like people of the times of the judges. Judges 17:6, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. This is a judgment on the people. Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's my truth. It's what I think is right, even though I'm hurting other people. Today we see no difference between love and selfishness. We think of ourselves as in a universe of matter with no God, no social truths, no meaning in life. Some super science experiment may bring computers to intelligent life, may open our world to other alien dimensions and their monsters. This is what they're telling us, that mankind is just an accident of intelligence anyway. The third, and this is perhaps shocking, the third that changed our culture is the church leaders, religious leaders, we could say. Jeremiah 23:14, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. Literally, I have seen filthiness. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return or repent from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Across America, we see churches that have abandoned the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Do not think that you can just go to any church down the street and find godliness being proclaimed. At best, the preachers use the Bible to preach their own message. At worst, people like the Word Faith preachers invent strange, ridiculous mythologies of man ruling God and man commanding the powers of wealth and health. The news media hails any immorality of preachers, indirectly condemning all preachers and believers as sinners in disguise, pretending to be morally superior. That's what they say. Well, they go to church to show that they're morally superior. Let me take you to Jeremiah 23, 25, 27, 30, and 32. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy, that say, here's the word of God, but they prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor. As their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. They, by filling them with falsehood, they're taking the word of God out of their minds of people. And then in verse 32, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies. They tell their false dreams, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. When the morality of churches no longer helps people, but just simply bows to their sin, we would be better off without them. God established them to reveal the word of God to people. Instead, they preached their own ideas, their own hearts, as if it were true. God is, one preacher dreams a dream, and if it gets him results in attendance or income, the other preachers echo his words. Yeah, me too. The church is echoing the world. Let us challenge false doctrine when we hear it. Yeah, I understand what he's saying. It's just not true. It's not according to the Bible. We have to say these words. A friend recently put on her Facebook page, you can't follow the word of God if you do not know the word of God. Let us expand that and determine to learn the Bible so we can take intelligent issue with false teachers. My conclusion, as America sins, God's consequences multiply. People suffer and despair. Some begin to think, what is wrong? Who can help? Who can I turn to? Dr. Mike is at this meeting in Atlanta. The thing that he's telling us is the price of eggs is not an accident. It's not a Democrat thing. It's a plague. As the plague of COVID and its variants, multiple variants, is still sweeping the world. Todd Crawford wrote, he says, right after I talked to you last week, I came down with COVID, been sick for a week. This plague cycling through the world. But now there's a plague of the birds being spread by the wild birds. And it's like never before. Never before has that disease spread to South America. It's all over South America now. And never before have they found that other animals evidently eating or getting into these infected birds are getting infected. He says even a dolphin, they found, got infected with this bird flu. So it's increasing. It's more virulent, more violent, more contagious. This is worldwide. They have to kill an entire flock when they see any of them infected, or else it just spreads. So, what was it? Hundreds of millions?
It's like over 60 million.
60 million birds been killed. That's why there's no eggs. Our leaders in politics, culture, and churches commit the worst sin yet. Jeremiah 6:14. They have healed also the hurt, the bruise, the break, of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. This is the people that are saying, oh, don't worry, the science will take care of the plague. Jeremiah 8:11, for they have healed the hurt of a daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Listen to them calming the panic of crime and soaring prices. Everything is fine. These are just the effects of our predecessors. You may need some psychiatric help for some calming drugs, but everything is fine. Peace, peace. We must say, no, sin is the problem. People who advocate sin and promote sin are the problem. Leaders who do not combat sin are the problem. We are seeing the consequences of sin that God warned would come. You have shut out God. You have shut out the blessings of God. This is what they don't understand. James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. Anything good in this world has come from God. It cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. And so if you abandon God, you are abandoning everything that's good in this world, thinking you're gaining some freedom, thinking you're gaining some liberties. You're not letting those preachers push you around, and your life is worse off.